time for the truth, will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? It's just a great day. I'm glad that you've joined us today. We're in the Gospel of John, John chapter 1. We're going to begin reading with verse 29 today, and so please look to John chapter 1, verse 29. We'll begin reading there in just a few moments. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. I hope that that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study today. John, Gospel of John, John chapter 1, beginning to read with verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me. For he said before me, I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And he knew him not, but he that sent him to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. I hope that that was so that you were able to read along with me important, precious scripture. Let's begin with prayer. Father, I thank and praise you that this day that you've given us, this opportunity to study your precious word, please that you just have all folks to listen, to tune into the radio and listen today, that they will enjoy this study, precious study, the Gospel of John. What a wonderful time we have enjoying the Word of God. Please today that have folks carefully listen. There is no area of the Scripture that we would find that would be as precious as this is. And so all the Word of God is God's precious Word for our learning, and yet we have some areas, Father, that are so wonderful, and this is one of them. And so please, guide and lead us through this study today. Those that are lost, touch them with salvation, that they'll understand that their sins, they're dead. The dead and their trespasses and sins. Please, today that they'll come alive because they'll believe in you, Lord Jesus. And then all will grow and continue to walk with you as believers through this life and on into the next as you take us there. Please guide and lead us now today, dear Lord, and I dear Father, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. These wonderful verses of Scripture, again, how rich the riches that we find here, right here in this text. And I don't want you to miss it. The 29th verse here says, Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. That is the work of Christ. That's what he's come to do. What a bold statement. And now the statement can be even more bold because it says, Now it is the Lamb of God. He is standing here among you. And so for to acknowledge that the Lamb of God is come to take away the sins of the world, oh, we have known that through all of time that the Savior was coming. But for him to pronounce now, not only that is he coming, he is here. He is here. And of course, for that position, but for that responsibility to take away the sins of the world, that's what he come to do. And so what a wonderful section of Scripture here, this 29th verse, it just in itself. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, Behold the Lamb of God. I mean, he's pronouncing that. And then without letting any time lapse, that taketh away the sin of the world. That's the purpose. So now this purpose, this person, Jesus, God, has come in the flesh and he is beginning his public ministry, because this is what we have. And that ministry lasted about 3 years. Jesus is 30 years old, and it's going to be about 3 years of ministering and showing that he is God. Without question, he is God. The name here given to Jesus goes much deeper than merely signifying that he is meek and gentle and humble as a lamb. Behold the Lamb of God. It means that he was the great sacrifice for sin. Behold the Lamb of God. This was promised through all the Old Testament. You can go all the way back to Genesis, to the beginning of Genesis, because in the Garden of Eden, it was given to our first Adam and Eve, to the first parents, the first people. The promise of the Savior was proclaimed right there. And you can go back if you think, boy, I didn't realize that. And if we'll come back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, right here, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That is clearly the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is going to win? And he is coming. And there was a purpose for the Savior, the seed. The seed was coming, and we know that that seed, born of the Virgin Mary, not the seed of a man, but fathered by the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ, is coming on the scene. He has been here on this earth for 30 years at this point in time, but now he begins his public ministry, and this was, again, promised all through the Old Testament. The blood of the lambs that were slain from Eden, the Garden of Eden, all the way to Calvary, pointed to this lamb that John is announcing today. Everyone, if you'll remember, let's go all the way back to what God did with Adam and Eve, because you see, they needed salvation. They needed a Savior. And if you'll look with me to Genesis 3:21. Genesis 3:21. Unto Adam also to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. If you'll remember, they tried to clothe themselves. They tried to cover themselves, because when they had eaten of the forbidden fruit and God came into the garden and they had hidden from him. They had never hidden from God before. When God calls out for Adam and we find that he had tried to cover himself. Well, that's what religion does today. If you do not truly come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in him as the Son of God, not just another man that was upon this earth, but as the Son of God, Savior of the world, if you have trusted in him, then you are born again. Every offering that was made, and when you look at this, it says coats of skins and clothe them. It doesn't really tell us that that was a lamb. But through the Old Testament studies, he presents himself as the Lamb of God. I believe this to be a lamb. It may not have been, but I believe that it was. And I believe that God killed that lamb, and he took those coats of skins and he put them on. And I believe that when those coats of skins was placed upon Adam and Eve, and they were still bloody. You say, oh, that's the most gory thing I've ever heard. Oh, it's the most precious thing I've ever heard. Because this is the very first picture, a beautiful picture of an innocent sacrifice giving their life, Now, it didn't take away their sin. Jesus had to do that some 4,000 years later. But it did cover their sin. The leaves didn't. The leaves didn't. But this did. This covered. The precious, precious coats that we look at here that he put on. Again, just to go through it one more time. God, it took an innocent sacrifice, and that innocent sacrifice was slain. And upon the slaying of that innocent sacrifice, losing their life, they shed blood. It was God's plan, God's doing. And then it was placed on Adam and Eve. Now, you hear me all the time say that we must come by faith to the Lord Jesus. It is a personal relationship. Just because you sit in church and listen to the preacher or listen to a teacher teach you that Jesus died for your sins and rose again the third day and he died to take your sins away, just to hear that, unless you accept that, invite Jesus into your heart. Adam and Eve accepted those coats. They had a choice. They could have kept those fig leaves and they could have maintained those, and that would not have, they would have died in their sin. Now, at this time, the curse came upon all the land, upon Adam and Eve, and from this time on, the earth has been cursed continually. And there's going to be a time, and when you have a good study in the book of Revelation, you'll find that it clearly speaks of when not only man receives their new bodies, but also man receives, or the earth receives its new, being made new again. And so as we look here, it says the coats of skin and clothed them. And so he put them on, but they had to receive it. Now I'm going to ask you one more time, please invite, receive Jesus as your Savior. Don't just think that you're good enough. Because I'm sorry, my friend, you're not. I'm not. I have to have Jesus as my Savior, and you have to take him into your heart personally. Invite him in to take your sin away and to save you and to keep you. And I just ask that you do that today, please, please. Make note of those verses of Scripture, Genesis 3:15 and Genesis 3:21, both beautiful verses of Scripture that speak of the salvation of our God and how that he had set that forth from the beginning. Well, we're going to jump forwards now 4,000 years because this promise has come to pass. So we have, again, all of these offerings, these sacrifices, the blood of the lambs that were slain from the Garden of Eden, from where we were just at with Adam and Eve, all the way to Calvary. Every one that was offered as a sacrifice points to this lamb, the Lamb of God that John is just announcing. Christ was the true lamb to which every daily, whether it was morning or evening sacrifice that was taken into the temple, that was brought to the temple and slain out in the courtyard there or brought in and put up on the altar, the brazen altar, every one of those pointed to this Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the Lamb that Isaiah spoke of in Isaiah 53. He was the lamb that was brought as the Passover lamb. Remember the story there. It a beautiful, beautiful message as all the plagues was falling upon Egypt because they just would not regard God's call. And Moses just kept going before Pharaoh, and finally it got to the ultimate, to the last one, to where it was the death of the firstborn. And those that were coming in with the death of the first, that was going to face the death of the firstborn, God gave the nation of Israel. Many of those plagues, they didn't touch Israel. Israel was in the land of Goshen, and there was just like a line. And they didn't have to face those judgments of the blood and the water and all the things that that Egypt had to survive, had to face and go through, he exempted from the Israelites down in Goshen. But this one he didn't. And the reason was is because it was too important. There is only one way to be saved, and that is to trust in the sacrificial lamb, the perfect lamb of God, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. We are told it right here clearly. Back in the 14th verse of the same chapter, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This sacrificial lamb at the Passover. All right, now let's come back to there. Final plague. Final plague. Here was all the Egyptians. Moses said, the firstborn is going to die. The firstborn of everything, firstborn of livestock, the firstborn in your family, and it could have been with myself. I'm the firstborn male. My father was the firstborn. My grandfather was not the firstborn, and so it was not. It wouldn't have covered him. But if all three, my son would be the firstborn of the males, and so when you look at that. Three generations, if all of us were alive, my father, myself, and my son living in the same household, which was very common at that time, all three of us would have died. We would have died, plus the firstborn of the livestock. Death everywhere. But God gave Israel, He gave everyone a way out. The Egyptians could have done this, but this was given to Israel. And Israel was told to go kill the lamb, prepare it in a certain way for eating, for consuming. You see, taking it in once again. But the blood, you think there's no importance in the blood. From the very beginning, there was a shedding of blood with the lamb, the animal that was slain for Adam and Eve. Move forwards now to the Passover. And at this Passover, coming out of Egypt, as they were coming out of the land, and we find that this Passover lamb was killed in a perfect manner, according to the plan that God laid before him, but the blood had to be taken and placed up on the mantle and the doorposts of that home. And you better be in that home. If you would have followed every direction, but you stood outside that home, you would have died. You have to be covered by the blood. You see, that perfect, beautiful picture is everywhere through the Word of God. Be covered by the blood, the precious blood of the Lamb. And if you will notice that we're back at the year 4000 B.C., before the birth of Christ, so about 6,000 years ago. And then it was about the year of 1500, 1450 B.C. So all those years had passed before we're talking about here with the Passover lamb, with coming out of Egypt, going to the promised land. What a promise and what a day that was to watch all the firstborn die except for those that were covered by the blood of the Lamb. That death angel passed over. What a beautiful picture. So you see, every lamb, the blood of the lambs that were slain from the Garden of Eden to Calvary points to this lamb that John is announcing today here in the Gospel of John. Every lamb that was slain in the temple, morning and evening sacrifices, was a picture of the true lamb that was coming and is here in John chapter 1. Isaiah, the prophet, go back and read chapter 23 in the book of Isaiah. You need to see that. The lamb that was slain in Egypt, the day they left Egypt, They had ways of doing it. Everything was properly carried out, but there was nothing more important than covering that doorpost and that lintel with the blood and being in that house. Everything had to be followed, and it wasn't long after that that they left the land. Pharaoh said, go, just go. And John announces, on this day, God's true and perfect Lamb. You know, not only did John announce that the Lamb of God was here, he also announced why he came. The Lamb of God has come to take away the sins of the world, to take them away. Take away. I underline that. Take away. Before every offering and every sacrifice that was given, every one, it was done, it was given as a covering. That's all it could do. It couldn't do anything besides that. It could only cover. Why did they reject the Messiah? We have talked about that in past studies. He came into his own, and his own knew him not. John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth among you whom ye know not. He it is, who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose shoes latch I am not worthy to unloose. That's just verse 26 and 27 of this chapter. Did not know the Savior. Why not? Why did they reject him? There are so many verses of Scripture that points to him. They weren't looking for someone to save them from their sin. How about you? When you come to a church, you decide to attend a church service, are you coming because you have need? Maybe it's financial need. Maybe it's a mental need, something that you need. You've heard that religion answers that. No religion will answer that. But God can, through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But when you come to church, you probably weren't looking for a Savior. You were just doing what maybe your parents did or what somebody said, hey, go to church because that'll make you feel better. Well, that's not a lie. That's a true statement. But it's not attending the church that does it. It's the relationship with Jesus Christ that's going to make the difference. You could come to this church, you could attend this church every time the doors are open, never miss a study, never miss anything. And if you do not accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're going to burn in hell, and the only thing you're going to be is just, you're going to be upset, you're not going to have any peace, you're not going to have any comfort, you're not going to have anything. I wish I could say that all you have to do is walk into the doors of this church, but it's easier than that. And that is come by faith to Jesus as your Savior. Trust in this Lamb. Please, trust in this perfect Lamb. John not only announces he is here, but he is here for a purpose. And that purpose is to take away the sins of the world. Why did they reject? They were looking for a mighty ruler. They were tired of Roman rule, and they wanted somebody to take and rescue them. That's one reason. John said that the Lamb of God has come to take away the sins of the world. John announces a Savior. They were looking for a king. They were expecting one who would destroy right here and now their enemies, and that's what they wanted. John said the Lamb of God has come to save his enemies. They want him destroyed. John said Jesus is coming to save them. He came to do for sinners what sinners could not do for themselves. He came the first time that there might be peace in the human heart. And that's what I'm telling you about today. Trust in Jesus to have that peace. And then I hope you come here to church. I'd love to fellowship with you and grow with you and grow together as we feed upon the Word of God. Watch it cleanse us and feed us and all the things that God's precious word does, guides us, gives us wisdom and strength and power. It's a wonderful walk. There's no better anywhere, never will be, than to be a Christian. It's always going to be the best. Oh, there may be enemies come. They may come and kill my physical body. It's still the best walk and the best life you can have to be a Christian. They could come and steal everything away from me. Only if I would just deny my Lord, then I can keep it. I will never, I hope that I never deny my Lord. I grow in the Word of God. I am strengthened by His Word. I study His Word so that when that time comes, that I ask the Lord I be strong enough to stand, whether they take my life or take what I have gained in material things, whatever it is, that I do not back down and surrender and sell my God out for something of this world. I hope I never do that. He came to do for sinners what sinners couldn't do for themselves. He came the first time that there might be peace in our hearts. When He comes again, then He'll bring peace on earth. That's what they wanted the first time. Let's deal with the heart first, then we'll take care of the earth. He came to take away the sins of the world, not just a few, but of the whosoever will. The sins of the world, He came to take them away. Oh, this precious day. We just looked once again at something we'd already studied, and that's that 29th verse, because we already got down to verse 31. But it was worth review. And let's look back at these verses now. John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. This is He of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore I am come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. Let's go back into Matthew. I think we can find that what John is speaking of right here. I believe it's around Matthew chapter 3. And we're going to look here about the 13th verse. And I think we can start there. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and cometh thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Oh, my friend, you can read that in Matthew chapter 3, beginning with verse 13 through the 17th verse. Once again, we come to verse 32. John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water. The same said unto me, Unto whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and I bear record that this is the Son of God. John baptized with water, showing the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, something that not had taken place yet. But Jesus, he come to baptize with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to live within the heart of every believer. My dear friend, I hope you know Jesus as your Savior. If you don't, trust Him today. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?